Our gospel reading this morning is Mark chapter 15, verses 42 through 46. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead. And, summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
In our sermon series this fall, we are trying to be more conscious of all the goodness that God has put around us. All the gifts, the gift after gift, the good things that are both around us and also within, the grace upon grace with which God pours out love upon us. So we've entitled our sermon series, Grace Upon Grace, to remind us of all those good gifts that God has given. And our theme verse is from 1 Peter chapter 4, which says, like good stewards, which means like people who have good management or people who treat the gifts of God with loving care, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has been given. Last week, Sherry was leading us in our thinking about being stewards of the earth. And she pointed out from the book of Genesis that the very first words of God to people were about taking good care of the earth, being good stewards of our environment. In fact, the first call of God to people was the call to care for the earth. And in fact, the first commandment of God to people was to be good stewards, to take good care of this amazing gift of creation that is from God. And she suggested to us that because this is a creation story about our creation, that perhaps we are wired, perhaps it's in our spiritual DNA to deeply want to care for the gifts that God has given, to care for the things that God has entrusted to us. Perhaps our primary calling as human beings is to be wise caretakers upon the earth of all the gifts that God has given. Today, our topic is the stewardship of our bodies. How can we be good stewards, good caretakers of our own bodies? And how can we, with loving care, tend to the bodies of other people? My mother is upset about her body. She turns 88 next month. In the past few years, she's had major heart bypass surgery and a hip replacement. She has lost most of her sight through macular degeneration. She has suffered a severe hearing loss, and there was even a time last year when she was having trouble with her vocal cords and could not speak above a whisper. She joked that she had become the poster child for see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, because she could not see, hear, or speak. But that is not why she is upset about her body. She's upset because a week ago, she went to the doctor, and the doctor told her that she measures 4 feet 11 inches tall. She said, I am not 4'11", I am 5'1". Well, the reality is she used to be 5'1", and she wants to be 5'1", So she is upset about her body. If I were to take a poll this morning in this room and to ask you, if you had the ability, if you had the power to change anything, something about the appearance of your body, let's just think about appearance for a moment. If you had the power to change something about your appearance, how many people in this room would not change a thing? And how many people in this room would have some things that they would like to change about the appearance of their bodies? To me, it is an interesting phenomenon that we are so critical about our bodies. There's nothing else in God's creation I can think of that we are so critical of as we are of this part of God's creation, our own bodies. We are not so critical of the trees and the flowers, of the birds or the animals or the fish of the sea. We're not so critical of the mountains with their snow and the highland meadows and the streams and waterfalls and the rivers and the lakes and the ocean. We're not critical of the sunrise or the sunset or the stars in the sky. We look at all those things. We look at a day like today in God's creation, and we say, that's beautiful. Why then are we so critical about the appearance of our own bodies? And especially when you add this thought, that the scripture says we are little less than God, we are crowned with glory and honor. In the story of creation, as God creates one thing and then the next, God stops and looks, and God says, this is good. And the word for good there is not the word of the moralist, but the word of the artist. This is good, as in this is pleasing to the sight, or this is beautiful. But when God comes to the creation of human beings, when God makes us male and female, God does not say this is good. What does God say? This is very good. This is very pleasing to my eye, God says. This is very beautiful. So why the distinction between what God says about our bodies and our critical nature about our bodies? Well, I think we know why. It's because our culture is saturated and has been for years, for so many years that it started before many of us in this room were even born. Permeated for years with critical messages about our appearance, messages meant to make us unhappy, dissatisfied with what we look like. And of course, the purpose of those messages is what? To get us to buy some product or enroll in some program or have some procedure that if we will do these things, then we will be good looking. Then our appearance will be more acceptable. Now, which message is the logical one to believe? The one that's motivation is to get us to spend money, or the one from God who speaks the truth, who created us, who says of us, that is very good? Which is the logical message to believe? But which is the one we will believe? I think the reality is that it is difficult for us to tune out that message that so permeates our culture that it's become a part of our own thinking. But at the very least, when we stand in front of the mirror and start getting critical of our appearance, at the very least, we could stop for a moment and remember what God thinks, and we could pray, and we could say, Lord, set me free in my mind, in my emotions. Lord, set me free of that lie about me, about us, as human beings with bodies. And help me to see more how you see human beings. I think if we are going to learn the stewardship of bodies, it requires an attitude adjustment on our part. We need to believe less the critical messages, to learn to believe more and more what God says about us. If we do not gain some respect for our own bodies, then we may do things that are harmful to our bodies. We may allow others to interact with us in ways that are harmful to us or hurt us or exploit us in some way. If we do not gain respect for other people's bodies, then it's easier for us to treat other people in a way that is not loving, that is in our interest but not in theirs, perhaps for our pleasure but perhaps to their harm. So the very first thing, the beginning about the stewardship of our bodies, is an attitude adjustment, that we learn to have a greater and greater respect for what God has created when God created us. Now, the second thing's about bodies. Bodies make us vulnerable, don't they? We can be injured. We can be harmed. There can be basic needs of our bodies that are not met. Food, shelter, warmth, clean water, water that doesn't bear diseases. And we know that so many people in the world do not have these things. Or we can become sick, or we can receive a devastating diagnosis about our bodies. Having bodies makes us vulnerable. And I ask myself then, why did God create us that way? God could have made us just spirits of some kind and perhaps not vulnerable at all. So why does God give us these bodies and make us vulnerable? Well, I think it's because that's the way we learn compassion. Because we are vulnerable, we can empathize with others when they are vulnerable. And we can learn to respond with compassion. If we weren't vulnerable, we might never learn in our hearts to be a deeply compassionate people. And isn't that the lesson of the parable of the Good Samaritan, which was read to you this morning? A man falls among robbers. They beat him and leave him for dead. Two people see him and pass by and do nothing. The third one sees him, draws near, the scripture says, and has compassion, and finds a way to turn that compassion into practical help, binding his wounds, transporting him to shelter, nursing him, giving the innkeeper money to keep on nursing him. Isn't that the point, that we are to learn that kind of practical compassion for people? That's why the two verses from James, remember, say this: if you see a brother or sister in need of food or clothing, and you say to that brother or sister, go well, be filled, be warm, and do not provide for their bodily needs, what good is that? James says. Perhaps God put us in these vulnerable bodies to learn that faith, if it's only in our heads, if it's only about God and not about compassion for others, if our faith does not learn practical ways to live as a compassionate people, then that faith is not worth anything to God or to us. And so the call to stewardship of our bodies is the call to be more and more and more a deeply compassionate people. And we find ways, large and small, to do that. So just through the church and just in the 7 days surrounding today, There were opportunities to bring food for the food bank, the emergency call for food in the food bank on Mercer Island. Next week, the opportunity to give blood. Yesterday, the opportunity to walk in the Seattle AIDS Walk. But you can find 1,000 things in your life, in your neighborhood, among the people that you share life with, 1,000 ways to be compassionate in the little things, to be supportive in the little practical ways. But it's more than that, too. There are some major things that people can do, have, and have done. People have given their lives, made their vocations to protect people from harm, or to rescue people from danger, or to learn what medicine now knows, or the procedures of medicine, so that when the catastrophic diagnosis comes, they can be of help, or invented the procedure, or invented the instrument that led to that help, or found the new vaccine, or found the way to get that vaccine to the farthest reaches where children are dying of common illnesses that they don't need to die from. In the next a few weeks from today, in our 9:15 hour, in one of the classes, for 3 weeks there will be a class called The Power of One. And it's this three different stories of people in this church who have done amazing things to bring compassion to people in the world. The call to be to the stewardship of our bodies, then, is first the call to the attitude adjustment, to gain some more respect, to think of us as God thinks of us, and then to learn deeply how to be a compassionate people in small ways and in great ones. Now, I want you to think for a moment about God's commitment to our bodies. That commitment began in our creation. God created us with bodies. Did not need to do that, but did do that. And then God came to us in a human body. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. The Word became flesh and lived among us. The disciples said, "We have heard his voice. We have seen him. We have touched him." And everything that God did for us in Jesus Christ, God did through the body of Jesus, the mind and the voice teaching us, being our truth teller, our inspirer, his hands, his energy being our healer, his behavior being our model. Even the things that were done that make possible the forgiveness of our sin, that make possible our atonement, our redemption, our eternal life, they all happen through the body of Jesus, broken for us, the lifeblood of Jesus poured out for us through his body. That's why the scripture says you were redeemed not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And because he was in a body, he also was vulnerable, as we are. And so he laid down his life. And when he was dead there on the cross, he had no power. He needed someone else to have compassion, to take his body down, to wrap it in the linen burial shroud, to lay it in the tomb, so that he would have an honorable burial, which was denied to most crucified criminals. But it's even more than that. Remember, he was raised in his body. His disciples touched him, heard his voice again, ate with him, and he will always be in that body. And we believe in the resurrection of our body, so that the time won't come when we have no body, when we graduate from having bodies. We will always be in our bodies. They will be much more glorious than they are now. The Apostle Paul says these perishable bodies must become imperishable bodies. These mortal bodies must become immortal, these physical bodies must become spiritual bodies. But they will be glorious, and that is our destiny. A couple of years after my father died, my mother had a dream. And in the dream, she was with my dad again. They were obviously in heaven together, and she obviously had just arrived, because she was saying to him, "Shorty, look at me. I'm so thin. I'm so firm." You know, nothing was sagging anymore. "So I'm so young," she said. And she described that dream and said, "There was just such an exhilaration of joy to be in that body." And it made me think that there is one good reason not to be satisfied with our bodies right now. It's because perhaps our souls know the bodies that will be and long for them, though they are not yet. We will have them in God's time. In God's time. Meanwhile, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with these amazing gifts, these bodies that God has given us. Be a people of compassion using these bodies. Let us pray. We're so grateful to you, O God, for creating us and saying that it is good, very good, for coming to us in a flesh and blood body, for all the ways you ministered to us through Jesus in that body. We're grateful for the promise of our resurrection bodies and the glorious bodies that they will be. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit to make us people of embodied compassion for as long as we are here upon this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.